Please, to our text this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, as we continue in our series, Why I Am a Christian, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul writes, Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. And just thank you, Lord, for the God that you are. I pray you just remind us, Lord, especially in times like these, that you really are King and Lord of all. Especially, Lord, how much we need to be clinging to that in these last days. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Sunday, June the 30th, at the Olympic Trials for Track and Field in Eugene, Oregon, born-again Christian Sydney McLaughlin Levron broke her own world record for the fifth time in the last 3 years in the 400-meter hurdles to win the right to compete for a gold medal at the Olympics in Paris. And because she's a Christian, this is what she said to a reporter from NBC, followed by what she actually said to the reporter at NBC.
Women's 400 hurdles final, Sydney McLaughlin right in the middle, there she is.
Sydney McLaughlin LeBron, 50-67. It's a world record in the last event of the trials. Sydney's done it again.
Yeah, I'm just amazed, baffled, and in shock. Praise God. Was not expecting that, but he can do anything. Anything is possible in Christ. So, yeah, I'm just amazed, baffled, and in shock.
See what they did? NBC edited out everything she said about Jesus Christ. Folks, Christianity is the most hated, the most rejected, the most censored faith system in the entire world. Because in these last days, the entire world wants to cancel and edit out Jesus. So folks, in times like these, do we ever need to be reminded who Jesus Christ really is and what he's really all about? And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us why. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Why I Am a Christian, looking at all kinds of reasons why we really follow Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So far in this series, we've seen that we are a Christian because there is a God and because the Bible is true. And today we look at another reason why we are a Christian, and that's because Jesus is Lord. And to see that, we turn today to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. In this part of 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is telling us about the mystery of the godliness of Jesus Christ. And in our text today, Paul tells us that Jesus is Lord. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today the third reason why we are a Christian is because we believe exactly the same thing about Jesus Christ too, for all kinds of good reasons. Our text this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, tells us three reasons why Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus is Lord is because what happened with Jesus in the past. And that's exactly what we see here in the first part of verse 16. Paul talks about the mystery of Jesus Christ. But folks, it ain't no mystery anymore. Now, why buffalo wings are made out of chicken, that's a mystery. How you can eat a quarter pounder and gain 2 pounds because of it, that's a mystery. How Kamala Harris can run for president without being held accountable for any of the stupid things she did for the last 4 years as vice president, that's a mystery that hasn't been made known. But folks, the mystery about Jesus Christ has already been made known 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth to be the Savior of the world. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord because Jesus is a real person. And we need to remember that because the biggest attack against Christianity right now is this silly idea that Jesus never really lived. Jesus never really existed. Atheist author Paul Mikovits said this, Jesus Christ was never a real historical person, just a concept made up in the minds of conservative Christians to support their extremist agenda throughout the centuries. So Jesus was just a myth and a right-wing conspiracy theory. Which is absolutely ridiculous. People, how do we know that George Washington ever existed? Because we have a record of all kinds of things that he said and did that people recorded who knew him and saw him. How do we know Jesus Christ really existed? Because we have a record of all kinds of things that he said and did, recorded by people who really knew him and saw him. The Gospels in the Bible. And they're not once upon a time. They're consistent. And they don't contradict each other. And they present themselves as real history. So if you're going to deny the validity of the gospel account about Jesus Christ, you've got to deny the validity of every historical account about anything that ever occurred in the history of the world. Because, folks, the gospels are not Winnie the Pooh or Goodnight Moon. They are eyewitness accounts. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which we have heard with our own ears, that which we have seen with our own eyes, that we have touched with our own hands, that is what we proclaim to you. People, the disciples were really with him. Amen. And Jesus is mentioned over 39 other times by other historians during his day and other sources outside the Bible, proving that Jesus really existed too. Jewish historian Josephus said this, about this time lived Jesus, a man full of wisdom, if one may call him a man. For he was a doer of incredible things and attracted to himself many Jews and Gentiles. Jesus was also mentioned by Roman historians like Tacitus, Suetonius, Flavian, and Lucian, who said this, the man Jesus was crucified in Palestine because he introduced a new cult into the world. So even the people who didn't believe that he was God, even they didn't deny that Jesus really existed. Folks, I am a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I have a master's degree and an IQ over 150. Do you honestly believe that I would dedicate my entire life and my eternal, everlasting soul to a cartoon character? And why? Because Jesus is not just an imaginary friend like Barney the Purple Dinosaur or Mr. Snuffleupagus on Sesame Street. He's a real person. He is King and Lord of all. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord because Jesus is God. God the Son, second person of the Trinity, coexistent and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Verse 16 says he was seen by angels. Notice it doesn't say Jesus saw angels, because I know crackheads who think they saw angels. Jesus was seen by angels in heaven before he ever came down to this earth in human form. John chapter 1, verse 1, from the very beginning, even before there was a beginning, Jesus was God. And he's God in the flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 16, he appeared in a body, God in human form. And of course, that is exactly what Islam denies to the hilt. Quran chapter 5, verse 17, it is blasphemy indeed to say that Christ is God. Quran chapter 9, verse 30, Christians call Christ the Son of God. Allah's curse be upon them. Muslims claim that we Christians believe in three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. No, we believe in one God who's revealed himself to us in three persons. You want to play the math game? Because adding Jesus is not adding another God. Because the three are already one. 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. 1 / 1 = 1. 1³ = 1. Crunch the numbers, do the math. Jesus is God. Amen. Now, if this guy walked into church next Sunday and said that he was God, we'd call the security team. But you know the difference with Jesus? Jesus said that he was God too, but he backed it up. Jesus fulfilled all 322 prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. To the T, down to the very number of pieces of silver that Judas would use to betray him. Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12. The odds of one person fulfilling all 322 Old Testament prophecies is 1 in 10 to the power of 157, which is a number that can't even be calculated. Jesus' miracles prove that he was God. His miracles over nature and sickness and demons. Jesus even did miracles that the Jewish leaders said only the Messiah could do. Healing a man born blind, healing somebody of leprosy, casting out a mute demon. People, I could go on and on and on. That Jesus is Lord and God is not fantasy, it's reality. It's not mythical, it's historical. It is not just a matter of faith, it is a matter of fact. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord because verse 16, he was vindicated by the Spirit. After Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6, verse 10. And the resurrection is not a deep fake. Because regardless of what all the skeptics say, here are the bare bones facts about the resurrection that nobody can deny. Amen. Before Jesus died on the cross, he said over and over again that he would rise from the dead. That first Easter Sunday, the tomb was empty, and some of Jesus' followers saw him risen. And in the next 40 days, those same followers saw him again. And Jesus was also seen by over 500 other people at one time. Except for the disciple named John. All the disciples died as martyrs because they would not give up this belief that Jesus Christ was Lord because he had risen from the dead. Over 360,000 Christians in the early church died because they refused to worship the Roman emperor because they would not give up the idea and the belief that Jesus Christ was Lord because he had risen from the dead. You say, well, Kevin, the resurrection is only true if you believe it. No, it's true whether you believe it or not. And nobody dies for something that they know is a lie. What's the only explanation for the whole thing? On the third day, he rose from the dead. Amen. Over 4,200 religions in the world. Only one empty tomb. Only one person who conquered death. Only one way to heaven. Only one way to God. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Christians, do not forget the resurrection. Because it's not just a trivial question. It's not just a factoid. It proves absolutely everything. There's only two possible places in Jerusalem where Jesus could have been buried after he died on the cross on the first Good Friday. One of them is in a cave underneath the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the Old City. 325 AD, Roman Emperor Constantine sent one of the church fathers, Eusebius, to Jerusalem to find the place where Jesus was buried. And the locals said that was the place. So they cut the top off that cave so people could see into it, built a shrine around it, and then years later put the Church of the Holy Sepulchre over top of the whole thing. And folks, that tomb does have a shelf or a bench in it to put a body on, like a rich person's tomb would have been back then, because that's the kind of tomb that Jesus was buried in, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9. And that tomb would have also been located outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem back in Jesus' day, because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 says Jesus was crucified and buried outside of the city. Now, is that the place at the top where Jesus was really buried? Well, might be, might not be, because there are other memorials and plaques in that church for other things that never really happened there either. Now, the second place where Jesus could have been buried is called the Garden Tomb. Matthew chapter 27, verse 33 says Jesus was crucified on a hill called Golgotha. That literally means place of the skull. And John chapter 19, verse 41 says Jesus was buried in a tomb that was really close by. 1883, British explorer Charles Gordon went to Jerusalem and found a hill that looked like a skull. And just around the other side of the hill, there was a tomb in what would have been a garden in Jesus' day. And other locals told Charles Gordon that was the place where Jesus was buried. And the second chamber in that tomb has a bench that a rich man's tomb would have had. And the entryway has a trench where a big stone would have been rolled back and forth to open or close it, just like the Bible says. But folks, the problem is that whole area of Jerusalem where Calvary and the Garden Tomb are located is all controlled by Muslims. And over the last 15 years, they started building a big retaining wall on top of that hill, on top of that tomb, so that the weight of that wall was almost causing that tomb to collapse. And a retaining wall for what? Get this, a Muslim cemetery. Dead people's bones desecrating the very place where Jesus was crucified and Jesus was buried. Talk about a slam from Islam. You know that religion that's all about peace and tolerance? And not only that, that cemetery was for the holy mujahideen, Muslim holy warriors who died trying to kill Jews and Christians. So the holiest place in the entire world for Christians, they build a shrine to worship Muslim terrorists who are trying to kill Christians. And not only that, on the fence and on the wall of that cemetery, they put the sign that says that. That's the Muslim Shahada. So that all the Christians going there can see that sign and read it. That sign says, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. You talk about disrespecting. You talk about trash talking. But here's the good news. Prophet Muhammad died in 632 A.D., and was buried in the so-called sacred chamber under the green dome of the Prophet's Mosque in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. So to this day, the only tomb where Muhammad was buried in, the very tomb that Muhammad was buried in, is still full. Meanwhile, Jesus' tomb is still empty. Whether Jesus was buried in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre or in the Garden Tomb, both of those tombs are still as bare as Mother Hubbard's cupboard. So I don't care what the Muslims do to the Garden Tomb. I don't care what they do to it, on top of it, or around it. It doesn't change the fact that tomb is still empty, which proves every single thing that we believe about Jesus Christ is absolutely true. Amen. Muhammad is dead. Jesus is alive. Islam is a joke. Christianity is true. Acts chapter 2, verse 36, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the past, God made him both Christ and Lord. Amen. The first reason why Jesus is Lord is because of what happened with Jesus in the past. We go on in this text, we see a second thing, a second reason why Jesus is Lord. Not only because of what happened with Jesus in the past, but also because of what's going on with Jesus right now. And that's also what we see here in the middle part of verse 16. How Jesus is received in the world. And folks, Jesus can be received in the world because Jesus is God who came to this earth in human form. Amen. So that he could relate to us and we could relate to him. Amen. Psalm 142, verse 3, he knows our way. Amen. Jeff Bezos lives in a $550 million mansion and compound in Beverly Hills, California. I can't relate to that. Taylor Swift watched last year's Super Bowl with Ice Spice and Blake Lively in a private suite box at that stadium that cost $2.5 million. I can't relate to that. Beyonce bought her husband Jay-Z a $1.4 million Bugatti for his birthday. I can't relate to that. We can't relate to all the A-listers, but we can relate to Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is the only God who knows what it's like to be us, because he is the only God who actually became one of us. Amen. And because of that, Jesus knows what it's like to be tired and dirty and hungry and thirsty. Jesus knows what it's like to cut and to be cut and to bleed and to hurt. Jesus knows what it's like to be depressed and to be rejected and betrayed and stabbed in the back. And have people that are supposed to love you more than anybody else in the whole wide world break your heart in a million pieces. Christianity is the only faith system in the entire world that has a God who cries and weeps over people. John chapter 11, verse 35. And if you're sitting in this church right now, listen to this sermon, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are blowing him off, he weeps for you because your time is running out. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, he dwells in a high and lofty place, but also right here with those who are lowly and contrite in heart. Jesus is Lord. Today, he can be the Lord of your life if you would just receive him by repentance and faith. Would you do that this morning? Amen. What's going on with Jesus right now is he's being preached among the nations. And of course, the world doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like it. Everything else is fine. A Sikh woman praying to a Hindu goddess at the Republican National Convention? Eh. Porn star Amber Rose giving a speech at that convention? Eh. All the occult symbols on the backdrop, the all-seeing eye of Horus, the pyramid of the New World Order? Eh. But Franklin Graham praying in the name of Jesus on the final night of that convention, that's beyond the pale. ABC had a royal cow. The Trump campaign ended any hope for religious tolerance by invoking their divisive concept of Jesus Christ. You know what ABC stands for? Anything but Christianity. Zhu Ojianka, professional Christian surfboarder from Brazil, always has a picture of Jesus on his surfboard. 2 weeks before the Olympics, the IOC told him if he didn't take a picture of Jesus off that surfboard, he couldn't compete in the Olympic Games. Here's the statement they sent to him. Christ is a religious figure, and the games have strict rules about religious neutrality. Yeah, that's why they trashed Jesus in the Last Supper in the opening ceremony. But folks, in spite of all the blowback, what are Christians doing today? Remember all the Jew-hating college students last spring? As they walked across the stage to get their diploma, how they pull out the Palestinian flag and wave it for everybody to see? Here's what one student did, University of Michigan. Wave waving a Jesus flag. Take that. Lollapalooza in Chicago was last August the 1st to August the 4th. And most of us Christians avoid that like the plague. Spiritual dumpster fire, we think. But look at what some Christians in Chicago were doing with Lollapalooza.
I'll never get used to this. I'll never get used to this. This is how I want to live.
They were sharing the gospel and praying with people to receive Christ. Jesus being preached among the nations. Got this letter a couple of months ago. Dear Fox River congregation, I thank and praise God for you for the word of God that is coming from Fox River Church to our city of Karachi and to our entire country. I am a chemistry teacher at a small college, and my wife and my family and I have been watching your live stream for over 2 years now and sharing the link with many, many others. And we have seen several people turn to Christ for salvation, including both of my daughters, and we are forever grateful for that. Just writing to let you know how God is using your big church. Everybody thinks we're a mega church. To reach people all over Asia too. And if any of you are ever in Karachi, we would be happy to have you worship with us. People, this is Karachi, Pakistan. God using Little Fox River Church here in the cornfield in Illinois to preach the word in Pakistan. Listen to me. Don't tell me you can't preach the gospel anymore. Don't tell me that people won't respond anymore. Yes, our situation has changed, but our mission hasn't. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus preached among the nations. And what's going to happen? Verse 16, he will be believed on in the world, all over the world. Because where is Christianity growing the fastest today? It ain't the United States. In Africa today, there are 750 million Christians on that continent and growing like crazy. 64,000 Chinese coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ now every single month in communist China. In Iran, there are towns and cities where there are more Christians going to underground churches on Sunday than there are Muslims going to mosques on Friday. Taylor Swift has 500 million followers. Jesus has 2.5 billion. And folks, God takes care of his believers, and God uses them to glorify himself. Devin Haney, boxer, WBC lightweight champion. And after every fight, because he's a Muslim, he always says, Allahu Akbar, praise in Allah.
Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
But then last April, he fought a born-again Christian named Ryan Garcia, and the Christian beat the daylights out of it. So after that fight was over, Ryan Garcia said this. Why did that happen? Because Jesus Christ is Lord, and he will not share his glory with anybody else. Christians, our God is God. Jesus is Lord. Let me ask you this morning, is he Lord of you? Is he Lord of your life? Is he Lord of the drinking and the porn and the token and the anger and the phone? Sydney McLaughlin LeBron works out 9.5 hours every single day, 2.5 hours of weightlifting every single day, and she never misses. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord of her life, and she's using the body that God gave her to glorify him. 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy, born-again Christian, turns his phone off every single night at 6 p.m. and starts winding down so he can be in bed every single night at 9 p.m. so he gets 10 hours of sleep every night. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Lord of his life, and he's taken care of his temple so that he can use it on Sunday afternoons in the NFL to glorify the Lord. Packers quarterback Jordan Love got engaged to his girlfriend just last June. They will not have sex until their wedding night. Amen. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord of his life and Lord of her life too. Jesus is Lord. Is he Lord of your life? And people, if Jesus isn't Lord, how do you explain all the incredible answers to prayer, prayers that are prayed in Jesus' name? Last Saturday night, June the 22nd, in Valley View, Texas, a born-again Christian named Joshua Fowler was home with his wife and two little kids. The wife and kids were upstairs in their bedrooms. and it was storming a little bit outside, but it wasn't anything to be concerned about. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to Joshua Fowler's heart and said, get your family out of those bedrooms down to the basement. And Joshua Fowler said, well, God, why? I mean, there's a storm. There's no warnings. There are no tornado sirens going on. Jesus told him, get your family out of those bedrooms. And about that time, Joshua Fowler heard the sound of the freight train because there was a tornado bearing right down on his house. Grabbed his family, put them in a little tiny bathroom underneath the basement stairs. And he's closing that bathroom door. That tornado slammed into that house. And they could feel the whole thing rocking. And everybody in that bathroom can feel that tornado picking that house up off the foundation. And Joshua Fowler cried out, in the name of Jesus, tornado be gone. Tornado be gone in the name of Jesus. And people amazingly, miraculously, that tornado stopped on a dime and disappeared. Hallelujah. And everything was dead calm. They got out of that bathroom. They looked and saw three huge steel I-beams had been driven right through the very bedrooms where that woman and those two little kids were sleeping. Those three people would have been killed on the spot if Jesus hadn't told Joshua Fowler to get them out of those bedrooms, and if Jesus hadn't stopped that tornado when Joshua Fowler cried out to him in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And because of that, there isn't anything that Jesus can't do. And there isn't anything that Jesus can't do for you either. And why is that? When Jesus ascended into heaven back to the Heavenly Father, he didn't tell the disciples in Matthew chapter 28. Now, the Heavenly Father is a gazillion light years away from here, so I probably won't be seeing you around anymore. No, he said, Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, I will be with you always. And Jesus didn't just say that to his disciples. He said that about every single thing that he created in the entire universe. But to keep that promise, that means Jesus has to be absolutely every place in the entire universe all at the same time. And how can he be? Well, us earthlings are ever going to really travel between the stars. We have to be able to travel the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second and some change, or 693 million miles per hour. But for now, that only happens in science fiction, like in Star Trek, where the SS Enterprise not only uses dark matter to go the speed of light, but warp speed, exponential multiples of the speed of light, starting at warp 1 and going all the way up to warp 9.9999, which is 8,000 times the speed of light, 156 million miles per second. And why couldn't the SS Enterprise go a full warp 10? Because not according to Star Trek, but according to real science, at that speed, 167 million miles per second, they'd be going so fast, the people on that starship would be occupying every cubic micron of a millimeter in the entire universe simultaneously all at the same time at warp 10. But what that means is, if Jesus Christ really does fill the entire universe, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, then Jesus has to occupy every cubic micron of a millimeter in the entire universe simultaneously all at the same time, which means Jesus has to travel warp 10 too. And I know somebody's hearing this, getting ready to walk out, saying, Kevin, this is absolutely ridiculous. Where in the world does the Bible say anything about Jesus traveling at the speed of light? Well, here's the incredible thing. Remember that Bible verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8? It says, with the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. That's God's perspective on time versus man's perspective on time. And folks, if a thousand years for us is only like one day to God, that means God's moving a lot faster than we are. And how fast? Picture you see on the screen is the famous Lorentz algebra equation from Albert Einstein's E equal mc squared to figure time dilation. So when you crunch the numbers and do the math, do you know how fast God would have to travel for a thousand years for us to be only one day to him? You see it right there. 299,792,457 meters per second. And do you know what you get when you translate that into miles per second? 186,000 miles per second and change. 186,000 miles per second. Holy Captain Kirk and Dr. Spock, people, that's the speed of light in the Bible. Now you tell me, guy who wrote that was Peter, just a fisherman in Galilee. How in the world did he know 1,950 years before Einstein ever discovered it that the speed of light was 186,000 miles per second? That's just it. He didn't know, but God did. Don't tell me that Bible isn't true. Don't tell me that Bible isn't true about everything that it teaches. Don't tell me that Bible isn't true about science. And why? Because the guy who really wrote it, Jesus Christ, is the greatest scientist of all time. Amen. And I know somebody's hearing this sermon, you're saying, well, Kevin, if Jesus really fills up the entire universe, fills everything and every, that means Jesus has to go faster than the speed of light. That means Jesus has to go warp 10. And my question is, so what? Do you honestly believe that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has a speed limit? He's God, for crying out loud. He's the master of all time, space, and dimension. Jesus is light. He created light in the universe. So, of course, Jesus is faster than anything he created. For heaven's sakes, 186,000 miles per second. That's just cruise control for him. And what does that mean for us? I don't care what kind of problem you got in your life right now. I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care what kind of hell you are going through right now. You cry out to Jesus Christ, he will not. He will not be there just like that. And you know why? Because Jesus will have already been there before you even call on him to start with. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. He fills up everything in every way. People, listen to me. Even in these last days, Jesus is still Lord, which means you are still Lord. His. There isn't one thing about your life that he does not know. There is not one place you can be that he cannot go. And there is not one thing that you need that he cannot give you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And why? Because Jesus is Lord. And not just back in the past, but even right now. The second reason why Jesus is Lord is because of what's going on with Jesus right now. We go on in this text, we see a third thing, a third reason why Jesus is Lord. Not just because of what happened with Jesus in the past, not just because what's going on with Jesus right now, but also what's going to happen with Jesus in the future when he comes again. And we see that here at the end of verse 16. He was taken up in glory. And that's talking about Jesus ascending into heaven 40 days after he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And notice when Jesus did that, the dispensation changed in God's plan for the last days. Because the ascension and Pentecost started the early church and started something called the church age that we're in right now. And right now we are this close to the dispensations changing again to the next one, the great tribulation. Amen. And the dispensations overlap each other. So right now at the end of the church age, we are already getting a preview of what the world is going to be like during the great tribulation under the Antichrist. And folks, Mr. Magoo could see it in a heartbeat. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. It's here. You can see it. You can feel it. Sadly enough, you even see it in the church.
Well, good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
My name is Rushing Kimball. My pronouns are he, him, his. I have the privilege of serving as the pastor of Broadway United Methodist Church in downtown Orlando. And also my drag name is still a work in progress.
You see the next one.
Watch this. The Bible indicates that Jesus was bisexual, saying he had a special love for John. And Jesus' last words implored his mother to regard his love, John, as his partner, their son-in-law, part of her family. Christian art shows John and Jesus physically close, embracing, cuddling, lying upon each other.
My God, people, do you talk about an abomination? Does everybody realize when Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, he wasn't a queer? And does everybody realize that Jesus isn't that now? And does everybody realize Jesus certainly isn't going to be that when he comes again? Because Revelation chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, his voice is like the sound of the ocean, and his eyes are like blazing fire, and his face is like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. So holy, his glory alone would incinerate you on the spot. So when Jesus comes again, you're not going to take him to a drag show. You're not going to ask him about his pronouns. You will fall at his feet as though dead. Spirit of Antichrist, Antichrist, anti-church, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Israel. We see it everywhere today. See what shock rocker Marilyn Manson is doing with the Bible?
I am a rebel.
Spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist, anti-Israel. Anti-Semitism in the United States of America today, the likes of which we have never seen before in the entire history of this country. Folks, we have people in the United States of America right now marching in the streets for the terrorist groups Hamas and Hezbollah in the United States of America. Israel attacked worse now after October 7th just for trying to defend herself. 190 countries in the United Nations, 140 of them already recognize a Palestinian state in Israel. Last May the 29th, Western European countries, Norway, Spain, and Ireland also recognized a Palestinian state in Israel. The first time in history that a Western European nation has done that to Israel over a Palestinian state. See what's coming? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3 says, in the last days, all the countries of the world will be lined up against Israel. Just exactly like the Bible says, spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist also means deception. Remember that famous picture of Donald Trump raising his fist, telling his supporters to fight after the assassination attempt? Have you noticed that you never see that picture anywhere anymore? And why? Because the propaganda media is censoring it. Because they don't want you to think there was an assassination attempt at all, because it helps the Trump campaign. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris is using artificial intelligence to generate crowds for her campaign rallies. See the video. She's walking down the steps and all of a sudden the crowd magically appears on the tarmac. And how do you know it's artificial intelligence? Because the so-called crowd never shows up in the reflection on the wing, on the side of the plane. And when you look at the people in the crowds, their faces and their limbs are all distorted. That guy's even got three hands. That's how you tell it's artificial intelligence. Folks, the gaslighting that the American media is doing today to push leftism and communism and the spirit of Antichrist is absolutely terrifying. And I know somebody's here and you say, well, Kevin, you Christians are doing the same thing for Donald Trump. You act like Donald Trump is Jesus Christ. No, Donald Trump said this himself.
Our country needs a savior right now, and our country has a savior. And that's not me. That's somebody much higher up than me. Much higher up. But the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ forever changed the world.
For the 20 billionth time, we do not believe that Donald Trump is the Savior. Donald Trump is just a vessel to try to get the power back to the people like our founding fathers intended, and to stop the Marxist takeover of this country, and to make America one nation under God again instead of a dumpster fire under the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist is everywhere. Evil is everywhere. Things happening these days like you and I have never seen before in our entire lives. Last August the 9th, outside of Sao Paulo, Brazil, we saw that.
Tá porra! Caralho, bicho! Nossa! Fudeu!
All 62 people killed on impact. Planes falling out of the sky. Riots, stock market panics, assassination attempts, the FBI raiding churches, pro-lifers put in prison just for praying in front of abortion clinics, 72% of Americans favoring gay marriage, drag queens queering little kids. They're already adopting the agenda. It's the world of Antichrist. People, it's already here. It's already started. Because the devil is out and proud, baby. And he's not even trying to hide it anymore. Carnival parade, Rio de Janeiro, last Ash Wednesday.
Nonsense with it, like this devil, this loser, this pathetic creature. These
That's
people are absolutely
float.
Insane and are sick in their heads.
They're worshiping the devil, folks. We have it here in America. Pop singer Billie Eilish manifesting a demon on stage during a concert. Look at what she does.
I want to end me.
You say, Kevin, she's just super flexible. Folks, Simone Biles couldn't do that. And did you see her eyes roll over black? That's a demon spirit. Remember her song a couple of years ago, All Good Girls Go to Hell? I think she's already there. Will Smith's performance on the BET Awards, if that looks like the pits of hell to you, it's because it's supposed to. Beyonce says once in a while she will channel a demon spirit that she calls Sasha Fierce, especially when she does that song, I Am, a song that mocks God the Father. I could go on and on and on. Spirit of Christ everywhere, evil everywhere. And why? Because people, Jesus is coming. Because these are the last days and all the signs are there. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, in the last days there will be earthquakes in diverse places. Here's just some of the latest. July 31st, 5.7 magnitude earthquake in Fiji. August the 3rd, 6.8 magnitude earthquake in the Philippines. August the 5th, a 5.4 in Mexico. August the 6th, a 5.2 in California. August the 8th, 7.1 in Japan. August the 10th, a 6.5 in Peru. Just last Monday, August the 12th, a 5.0 magnitude earthquake in northern Israel. Over 300 earthquakes in the last 3 months. She's a rocking and a rolling, people. Iran this close to attacking Israel for the very first time in history. Wars and rumors of wars, like Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. World War III about to break out in the Middle East. And where's Joe Biden, the leader of the free world? Oh yeah, there he is, sleeping on a beach in Delaware. The world is absolutely leaderless. Just exactly like the Bible says, just waiting for the Antichrist to come and take over. Just exactly like the Bible says. Jesus says, Luke chapter 21, verse 11, in the last days, there will be disease and pestilence. Just last Wednesday, the World Health Organization issued an international emergency for the black plague, monkeypox, and bird flu, disease X. The number of the Antichrist is 666, but his letter is X. And what do you know? Just in time for the 2024 election. I could go on and on and on. People, the great tribulation is coming, and the Antichrist is coming, and Jesus is coming. And the question is, what are we supposed to do in the meantime? Well, you see it right there. If you thought the opening ceremony, the 2024 Paris Olympics, was bad, with the mockery of the Last Supper, the closing ceremonies was really even worse. And it shouldn't surprise us. Because both ceremonies were designed by the same woke gay activist, Thomas Jolly, who doubled down for absolutely the most demonic, the most satanic closing ceremony in the history of the Olympic Games. There's this big gold thing that looked like a bug, and a dark gray hellscape that looked like the world under the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. And that bug looked like one of the giant locusts coming out of the bottomless pit. Fifth trumpet judgment, Revelation chapter 9, verses 12 to 21. And a bunch of dancers dressed up like demon spirits who were raising up circles that looked like portals into hell. And a bunch of scary voiceovers. And a bunch of creepy sound and music. It looked like tortured souls on the ship of the damned. And you say, well, Kevin, what in the world does that have to do with the Olympics? That's just it. It doesn't have anything to do with the Olympics. But it does have everything to do with Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. Then a headless angel came right up out of a stage, like one of the four fallen angels, like Abaddon or Apollyon coming out of the bottomless pit. So there's one of the locusts worshiping the angel Lucifer. And during the ceremony, a band called Phoenix played some dystopian songs. And a glowing phoenix started flying around the stadium. And Phoenix is a major symbol in the occult. And NBC said, the phoenix is rising in Paris. You're telling me. And the mass of the phoenix is a special black mass that the satanic church uses to conjure demon spirits. Now, Thomas Jolly said the gold thing was supposed to represent a gold disc that France sent into outer space back in 1977 to try to contact space aliens. And the headless angel is supposed to represent the Greek goddess Nike, the spirit of the Olympics. But if Thomas Jolly lied about the real meaning of the opening ceremony, which he did, why wouldn't he lie about the real meaning of the closing ceremony? To glorify the dark side in the eyes of a billion people watching all over the world. The symbol of the Olympics is five circles. Five, the number of death and destruction. And the circles represent conjuring circles. The Paris Olympics lasted 13 days. 13, the number of Antichrist. It was demonic and satanic and Antichrist to the max. But here's the good news. You know what's even more powerful than the spirit of Antichrist? The spirit of Jesus Christ. Because here's the incredible thing. as dark and satanic and in your face as those Olympics were, Jesus Christ was still all over those Olympic Games. Christian athlete after Christian athlete testifying. A 14-year-old Christian skateboarder from Brazil who was told she couldn't mention Jesus, so she used a sign language to communicate John 14:6 to the entire world. A U.S. male gymnast, a U.S. female wrestler, the entire Olympic team from the nation of Fiji.
I just have to give all the glory to God. It's all Him. And
yeah.
I'm going to be honest, like, I've gone super close to Jesus, and I just want to tell you guys that He's King and He's coming soon. So I really believe if you guys put your heart into Jesus Christ, you guys will, like, experience nothing but happiness and grace.
Professional tennis player Novak Djokovic did that after he won a gold medal. Christian athlete after Christian athlete after Christian athlete. I could go on and on and on. And what were those Christians doing? Folks, as disrespected and trashed and slammed as Jesus was during those Olympic Games all over the world, and as much as the devil was glorified in those Olympic Games in the eyes of the world, those Christians were still lifting up Jesus Christ. And what does that show us? I'll tell you what it shows us. Here at the end of the church age, right before the start of the Great Tribulation, right before the rapture comes, when the days are evil, at that point, God is raising up a remnant of people, Christians, who will be lights in the darkness, who will lift up Jesus Christ one last time because they are unafraid and unashamed for one more gospel harvest before the end comes and it's over for sure. My God, do we need more Christians like that today? And how can we do that? I'll tell you how, Christians, because we know Jesus Christ and we know the Bible and we know what the Bible says about the last days, and everything that's happening right now is exactly what the Bible says. For years and years, you and I as Christians have been told we're stupid, we're ignorant, we're narrow-minded. We couldn't have possibly have any idea what's really going on. But in these last days, because we know Jesus and the Bible, we're the only ones that know what's really going on. Nothing makes sense anymore, but it makes sense that nothing makes sense, because the Bible tells us in the last days, everything is the opposite. Everything is deception. Easter is transvisibility day. Men can get pregnant. Patriotism is a threat to our democracy. It makes sense, people, because we've got the book. Amen. And it's playing out right now, right in front of our very eyes. So Christians, we are not scared. We're not frightened. We're not panicked. We're not running, because we know the closer we get to that, the closer we get to that. Jesus said, Luke chapter 21, verse 28, when you see all these things happening, look up. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. People, we're not looking for a hole in the ground. We're looking for a hole in the sky. We're not going to run. We're going to fly, because Jesus is coming and His kingdom is coming and His kingdom will never end. And Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will reign and rule forever and ever and ever and ever. There's believers sitting in this church right now. You are Christians because you are followers of Jesus Christ. And you're followers of Jesus Christ because Jesus is a real person. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But right now, Jesus and Christianity and faith in Him and you Christians are being trashed and slammed like nobody's business. You bear His name. And right now, the devil in the world and every demon power in hell is blaspheming the very name by which you are called, to try to intimidate you into silence and to make you ashamed of what you believe, so you'll shut up and not share the gospel, so billions and billions of people will be lost in these last days. And I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being slammed and trashed. How many people sitting in this room right now are thinking, Kevin, I'm tired of it too. In these last days, I'm going to be unafraid and unashamed. In these last days, right before the great tribulation starts, right before the rapture, when the days are evil, I'm going to be unafraid and unashamed. I'm going to stand up and be a light in the darkness. I'm going to lift up Jesus Christ one more time for one more gospel harvest before the end comes, and it's over for sure. You're thinking, Kevin, I just want to see Jesus respected and honored. I just want to see Jesus lifted up and praised and glorified. I just want to speak the name of Jesus so people can be saved by the millions. I want to speak the name of Jesus for healing and for reconciliation and for power and glory and honor to Him. I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Break every
Today, Jesus Christ is Lord. Today, if He is not Lord of your life, if you've never surrendered to Him, you never prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart for salvation, you need to do that today.